everybody, and welcome to another Project Prospect podcast. We're up in Adam's room again, and from the steroid capital of America, Northern California, the Bay Area, and we got a big show for you. How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing well, Pat. Great to have you here. I'm excited to talk a little bit about Dan Heron. Not excited to talk about the Mitchell Report.
Yeah, that was my idea. Sorry about that, folks. I'm sure you guys have had about enough of that.
And if you guys listen long enough, we're going to do the second half of the show entirely on Kosuke Fukudome and what we think of him as a prospective Major League Baseball player. So stay tuned.
And that was Adam's idea. You can blame it on him.
I'm sorry.
Let's see. We're going to start with the big blockbuster trade that went down this week. Right? It was Dan Heron for... in the mainstream media, they'll tell you seven no-name guys, but we know better here at ProjectProspect.com. Dan Heron, big news.
Well, let's name the no-names. I think that's the bigger news from our standpoint.
Yep. Brett Anderson, three pitchers, Brett Anderson, Dana Evland, Greg Smith, the blue chipper, Carlos Gonzalez, outfielder, Aaron Cunningham, another outfielder, and Chris Carter, Adam's favorite prospect. He's been tossed around a couple teams now.
But. It's funny, I had someone come up to me at work today. They're like, what do you think about the Dan Heron trade? It's like, you know, they got some good guys. Chris Carter's someone who could emerge. They're like, yeah, he was in the big leagues last year, right? I was like, no, there was actually one Chris Carter who was on the Diamondbacks, but he was traded to the Red Sox. This is a Chris Carter who was on the White Sox, but he was traded to the Diamondbacks. And royally confused.
Yeah, and it wasn't the same Chris Carter who was wide receiver on the Minnesota Vikings either, right?
Yeah, I think even another Chris Carter.
Yeah. So I figured we would just go through all of the prospects and sort of just talk about them one by one. Does that sound good?
Sounds good. You make sure to do Greg Smith for me, please.
Okay. let's start with Greg Smith.
Okay.
I have him down as a sort of a 4th or 5th starter ceiling type guy. He's not a strikeout guy, but he's put up good numbers in the minors.
So added depth, could you see him on the 25-man roster in 3 years?
I could see him on the 25-man roster. For all these guys, it really just depends, how they do in the minor leagues. It just sounds pretty obvious, but, his ceiling is definitely in the rotation, in the starting rotation on the major league squad, I think.
Because I think that's one of the keys to this deal. When you think about the series of trades the A's pulled off, what was it, 2-3 years ago, mm-hmm. with Mark Mulder and Tim Hudson. For Mulder, you hear about that one all the time, because they got Dan Heron and Derek Barton, mm-hmm. which was quite a pull. But for Tim Hudson, they got Juan Cruz, Charles Thomas, and the third guy was Dan Meyer.
Yeah.
None of whom was on their opening day roster at the beginning of this year. And that's really what I think is going to matter most with this trade. If four of these guys were on their 25-man roster in 2009, it's a successful trade.
Yeah, in a trade like this, you can't really look for an equal value player. You sort of have to go for depth. And I think they made a good pull here, pulling a bunch of players who could be major league contributors, including Greg Smith. You want to move on?
Yeah. Like with Brett Anderson, Carlos Gonzalez, and Chris Carter, those are three guys who I think are definitely top 100 prospects. Carter's someone I'm going to have to convince myself is top 100 still, but I think most of the industry views him that way.
Yeah.
I'm a big Brett Anderson fan.
We've got him number 48 on our most mm-hmm. Recent of his top 75 prospects.
Which is probably higher than some people will put him. I believe he was a second rounder in 2006. I know his dad's a college pitching coach, so he's one of those guys who's thought to know a lot about the game and be mature for his age. Know how to pitch.
Well, yeah, he had sort of an off year. I think it was last year, which sort of probably made Arizona more willing to deal him. But he had a good debut season. I don't have the stats in front of me. Very unprofessional, but he's still only 19 years old, and he's got a blossoming future. I think Adam is working furiously to pull up the stats right now.
I would play furious. 19.6 years old. Last year was his first full season. He made it to high A, have him with a career strikeout rate around 25%. People say left-handed guys like him can do well in the lower minors, but he also doesn't walk many guys. Almost 6 strikeouts per walk so far in the minor league. So he's someone who we've heard doesn't throw very hard, but he seems to know how to pitch, and I like him as a potential number two starter, more likely a number three, but that's still a great pull for the A's to get here.
Yeah, someone so young, it's sort of hard to project how they're going to turn out, but again, someone so young, that's pretty valuable in our eyes. Dana Evland, I guess that's how you pronounce that name. I have him projected as just a left-handed one-out guy. I think he's made it up to the majors last year, but pretty borderline average statistics. I think he's the guy who's made a couple major league appearances, and his statistics have just gotten worse every time.
Really?
Small sample sizes, sure, but he's not going to be more than a sort of a one-out or a one-inning reliever.
Right, and he was with the Brewers before the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, he's been with a couple teams.
Aaron Cunningham's another guy who probably won't be more than an average regular, probably a number four outfielder. I got to see him play in Arizona. He also does really well on the speed statistic I've been creating, so I've seen some people profile him as a left fielder. Mm-hmm. I think that's more because of his bat. He could be a guy who's good enough to be a defensive replacement in center field.
Mm-hmm.
And we've narrowed it down to the blue chipper in the trade. What do you think of Carlos Gonzalez?
Carlos Gonzalez, I know you stats guys are you prospect guys. I guess I'm a prospect guy too, so I don't know why I'm trying to use that as an insult. But Carlos Gonzalez more than me, it's stats-wise, his stats don't really blow you away. He's definitely more of a tools guy. But, I mean, he's a blue-chip prospect. There's really no doubt about that. And he's going to be good. It's just a matter of how good, I think.
I think he's someone you look at him and I see a lot of power. And it's not even raw power. It's power that's already coming onto the scene. He had 17 home runs last year between AA and AAA. A guy who's going to hit a lot of extra base hits. I don't think he's the five-tool prospect that some people make him out to be. I don't think he has the speed on the base paths to meet that requirement, although he is fast enough to be a good defensive right fielder. I've heard he has a strong arm, but I think he's a guy who could potentially be like a number three hitter just because his bat could be that good.
Yeah, well, he's definitely the number one, or he was the number one prospect in the Arizona system. I think Baseball America had him in the top 10 of all prospects. We have him in as number 23 on our list, top 75.
But a guy the Diamondbacks didn't like as much as Justin Upton, clearly didn't like as much as Chris Young. He would have been the odd man out for them this year, even though they traded another odd man out, Carlos Quinton.
And even Eric Burns, the one team that's finally going to keep Eric Burns and give him a chance to be an everyday player for a couple years. And we talked about Chris Carter, right? That's 20 home run guy in the majors, good contact hitter.
Probably a designated hitter, a successor to Jack Cust.
Yeah, well... That leads us into the Mitchell report, but that's another Jared Barton-esque player. Not really that good at defense.
Right.
Left-handed hitter. I don't know. We'll
see
how... He
hit like 29 home runs, I believe, last year in the South Atlantic League as a 20-year-old. So he's someone hopefully the A's can see do well in the California League, high A, to begin the year, and maybe make it up the AA Midlands by the second half of the year. And if he keeps producing like he has been, then he's going to be a top 50 prospect, no doubt, entering 2009.
So how are we going to evaluate this trade on the whole? There's one number one and number two pitcher in Dan Heron, mm-hmm. for Brett Anderson, a potential number two or three starter. Greg Smith, maybe a number four or number five starter. Carlos Gonzalez, a blue chip outfielder. Chris Carter, sort of a quality first base bat. And Aaron Cunningham, a quality, it's sort of a wild card type guy. Good outfield hitter. I think the A's did pretty well.
And really, this is not the typical kind of trade you see in the big leagues. It's almost been a trend this offseason that you're seeing established big leaguers, even guys who haven't signed big contracts, being traded for a bunch of prospects. And this is the kind of trade I'd expect to see in a fantasy baseball league.
Yeah. All right. So, and none of these guys, none of the seven players acquired by the A's were on the newest piece of news in the baseball world, the Mitchell Report. You said you read the Mitchell Report. You started reading it, Adam?
I read most of the introduction. I found a few grammatical errors, and it kind of turned me off. No, that's just me being It was understandable. They weren't bad ones or anything.
Well, they got paid how much money to write
it? It was millions of dollars.
Do you think they could hire a proofreader?
Who knows? But I don't. You talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
Well, I've been hearing a lot of people in the media talking about how steroids are ruining America, and they're ruining it for the kids.
They crumble statues.
Yeah. And I just want to say that if you're a halfway decent parent, you'll teach your kids right from wrong, and they'll know not to take steroids just because, well, it'll turn you into a woman, and you'll crumble and whatever like the commercials show.
You can still get jobs at ESPN.
But yeah, one thing I wanted to mention was guys like Miguel Tejada, Andy Pennant, Roger Clemens. Sure, those guys are on the list, but. If you're looking for what are the kids looking at if they're reading the Mitchell Report, which they're probably not, is guys like Chad Allen, Matt Franco, Cody McKay, Adam Pyatt, F.P. Santangelo, David Segui. I don't think too many kids growing up are dreaming about being David Segui.
Some may envy Santangelo's startup broadcasting career, though.
Yeah, that's, I don't know if
he got his foot in the door because of the steroids, and now he's a broadcaster. That's
yeah, but
he has a good face for radio.
I don't know if I think the kids should stick to spinach. I think Popeye is a better role model than any of these baseball players.
You don't think Popeye was juicing too?
It's debatable.
Roid rage? Come on.
I don't know. So I guess that's all we want to talk about the Mitch Report. We can go to Jim Rome if you want to talk more about that. I think we're going to take a break now, and we're going to come back and do our Kosuke Fukudomi Japanese edition, Project Prospect Radio. Take us out.
Yep, so just go ahead, and we're going to probably make this one a separate podcast. We're going to fade out here, post them both on the same day. Thanks for listening to the first part. We're sorry if you don't want to hear about Fukudomi. You'll hear our voices as fast as your internet can download if you want to hear that one.